Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Chorus Call operator. Welcome to the presentation of the 2025 consolidated results conference call, Gruppo REVO. All participants are in listening mode only. After the initial presentation, you will have the opportunity to ask questions. To get assistance from an operator during the conference, please dial star followed by zero. The floor goes now to Alberto Minali, Managing Director of REVO. Please.
Good evening, everyone. Before I give the floor to Mr. Minali, CFO, I would like to quickly summarize the main corporate events of 2025. As you know, this is a bridge or link year between the old industrial plan and the new industrial or business plan that started in 2026 and to be closed in 2028. We did many things in 2025. We appointed a new board of directors, and we kept a lean governance. The board is represented basically by independent members, and I am the only non-independent board member. In June, we presented the new industrial plan, and we presented the market, in our opinion, a sort of a match between human intelligence plus artificial intelligence, and this is the meaning of the business plan. We would like to grow in terms of value. We also would like to extend as much as possible the use of machines. Of course, machines have to help our human capital, which is still the number one asset of this company. Within the business plan, we have also introduced the ESG plan with the identification of the main targets. We have made a list of two different types of activities that have been executed during 2025. The Standard & Poor's rating has been reconfirmed to A- stable. We also got a double A strong from ethics. This means that the external assessment from rating companies in the traditional business, but also in ESG business, they are both positive in terms of our company. Throughout 2025, we laid the foundations for the execution of the plan, and in particular, we continued our investments in technology and applications concerning AI, especially in underwriting, operations, and finance. The key roles that we have identified, this means our productivity in 2025 has further improved. All these investments will implement effects throughout the next years. Of course, we work with machines, and machines work with people. We have strengthened structures of underwriting, data analytics, and AI because these individuals would be the ones that give the best contribution together with machines in terms of product innovation and product innovation as well. As for product innovation, we launched a series of new products. I'm not going to make a list here, but we launched one, which is REVO for micro companies. Now, this is a very easy modular product. Execution speed is sky high because it concerns many different pieces of information. We also completed the specialty line with two new desks, one for energy, the second one for credit. This means that from the market, we hired experienced persons, so they bring in experience, expertise, relations with brokers, and the possibility to build their products. As for distribution business, it has improved as well because, as you know, we opened the banking channel with Desio Ricco, Banca Desio. We are working with three other banks, of which one is very important to strengthen our distribution. Together with agents and brokers, we also have a third channel. Let me tell you, there will be something new because we're working with financial operators and non-banking operations in order to sell REVO policies. The very last point I'd like to highlight right now is the strengthening of the REVO managerial team. We have a new branch manager who's giving a big contribution to implement the plan. Last year, we have reached the prize level. This year, we have to make a further effort. The work done by Desmarais in order to re-engineer all the products, the relations with brokers, and the entire community, well, this is so important to make sure we will also be successful in Spain as well. This is it. The floor goes now to Jacopo going through numbers. Of course, we will, with utmost pleasure, take your questions and/or your comments.
Thank you, Alberto. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for connecting to our call on the yearly results. You will find the presentation in our site, in the investor relations site. Slide number five is the first one that says the trajectory, I mean, a further growth of our numbers also throughout 2025. Now, we managed to get gross prices equal to 398.1 million euros. So this is better than expectations, which is what we share with the markets during the presentation of our business plan in June 2025. Now, we've been able to seize opportunities with new tactics in the space. We have had more transfers and reassurance of all the premium underwritten. But I'll be back on this so that I can tell you more about the operating performances. As for the adjusted operating result, in particular the result at the end of the exercise, which is 48.4 million euros, this is a strong growth versus 2024, more than 37%. While net profits were 22.4 million, the ND adjusted net profits are 28.6 million euros. In terms of ratio, now our loss ratio is 37.7%. This is a slight increase actually versus 2024, while CR combined ratio is 86.3%, so slightly over the threshold, which is our target, which is 85%. Now, as you know very well, in the plan year, of course, this will reduce slowly. In terms of BD breakdown, it's important to highlight that the key business is the first business line. So this is the cautions. Now, this is a very profitable line. So at the end of the financial year, it was 27.1%. The growth is 13.5%, so this is bigger than the trend we saw on the market. And you can see here the property, which is now the second most important business line, and this is the 22.5%, growing strongly versus the 2024 financial year. Also considering what we had already described in the past quarters, I mean, market conditions are now very favorable in terms of pricing, but also in terms, if you will, of, well, contract contents. At the same time, I would like to highlight that also the small business lines are starting to grow. It's giving a contribution to the top line. I'm thinking of the legal protection. In this case, the growth was more than 75% during the financial year. And the parametric business exceeding 100,000 policies underwritten. So this is a major increase in terms of number of pieces that we marketed, while the premium value is now very close to 1 million euros. Now, as for some business lines, they turned out to be quite flat. For example, financial advice and other. So in this case, the risk selection that we carry out during underwriting, it's absolutely always very accurate, especially in market conditions, which are now a little weak in terms of pricing level. The only business line that is really, really recording a slowdown is a personal accidents. Now, this is now the subject of reforms, re-engineering during the financial year because of the non-renewal of a couple of accounts. They didn't perform very well in the past, the half years. So there's a high level of attention from Rabo to adjust the portfolio, of course, based on the market conditions, but also based on the performances that we have on every single ticket. Now, just a couple of words quickly on Spain. You know that back in November 2024, we started our initiative with Rabo Iberia in Spain in 2025. It accounts basically for the first year, so the real full operating year in Spain. We've been able to get quite a good result in terms of premiums. This is absolutely aligned with our targets within the 8 to 10 million euros range, which is what we expressed and shared with the market. We managed to get 9.4 million euros of debt being marketed in Spain. We've been able to get to this market thanks gradual and stepwise widening of our distribution network in Spain. We now have around 50 local brokers. They help Revo in marketing our products. Now, at the same time, we have to further widen the staff. So the number of people working in the company with the onboarding of the person responsible for claims. And as Alberto said, the new branch manager inside the team. Now, as for distribution, we really see quite a strong growth of our marketing, which is what we do via brokers. Now, you know, the brokers, which is like agents, account for a fundamental foundation of our distribution network. Facilities actually will be one of the main drivers of the growth of our top line during the plan years. Now, this is an exposure, I mean, in terms of broker channel, which is quite close to 50% of total premium underwriting. Now, Revo underwriting, by the way, is also becoming a real hub of distribution. More and more brokers who manage to get updates with our agency, so around 350 open relations thanks to Revo underwriting. And you know, this pathway, if you will be strengthened in the next 4 years. Also, it goes without saying that our service, which by the way is still positive in terms of operating performances, the offer claims are now less than 1 day as for the commercial business and 1.5 days for all of the other lines. Well, this is the key element of this means we can really, really increase the interest from the, the brokers community, because, of course, we need to distribute in this way, revenues and operation. Slide number 9, you can see the details concerning the operating performance. This is what the group has been able to generate throughout the financial year. Our LR loss ratio is slightly going up versus the previous financial year, but it's absolutely aligned to the target range that we have set up during the plan. It's actually slightly better. You know, this target range goes between 38% and 40% loss ratio is 37.7%. During the financial year. So the cost ratio, CR, has been improved further. And this is fundamental, again, because, as you know, year after year, with the increase of our top line, with the improvement, thanks to technology, cost ratio is due to reduce more and more. So we will increase the value generated for every single euro of premium marketing. The acquisition ratio, AR, is basically in line with our forecast, while the impact of reinsurance, well, in this case, versus the financial year 2024, this is a little heavier, so to say. This is due to various factors. Besides number 4, underwriting of service. This is linked to our reinsurance, which is a little heavier versus the rest of the portfolio. Now, this is absolutely normal space because we are growing our top line. So once again, this is normal, but this means so we can really be present on the market, so we can keep, you know, talking with large size brokers, and at the same time we can access risks that otherwise we wouldn't be able to underwrite. At the same time, we recorded a slight minor reduction of our commissions, so the fees that we got from reinsurance. This is due to some, you know, technical dynamics which have characterized some portfolios in particular. And we also have some, reintroduction actions. Now, they turn out to be necessary because we have had some peak claims throughout the financial year. Slide number 10, you can see here some further details as for LR, or loss ratio. Let me highlight once again that in terms of property, it has been improved significantly. So it has improved technical performance, but at the same time, the same happens for CDT insurance, payoffs, parametric business, once again, performances are going up in terms of three industries versus the previous financial year. As for the PA, or personal accident, as we said before, a slight worsening, as we said before, but this is the consequence of an account that's always very well performed in the past years. So we think they can be back on the right track, so contributing extremely positively throughout the 2026, while the marine industry went slightly down during the financial year, but once again, this is under scrutiny, and there will be sort of re-engineering of this business in terms of the contents, but also in terms of underlying business, also in terms of distribution, because in this very case, we will try and increase the number of brokers that we cover the market with. I'm talking about the marine market. It is important to highlight that 2025 also is a sort of a disruption year, if you will, in terms of serving, because as you can see, we have increased and we have put into the coverage, into our financial statements, we now have the NR provisions. We are using actuarial statistical models. This means we can further improve our reserving calculations, because this will include, some behaviors and some dynamics, which is what we've been seeing in the past quarters, especially for the business, which is underwritten in terms of co-insurance with other insurance companies. What is very positive, as we said before, is the development of the CR, cost ratio, wide total cost increase, less than proportionately versus the growth of premiums. We have had an increase in staff costs, but this increase is highly targeted. Now, this means that we have had new hires, specific hires in terms of IT, data management, and underwriting. In slide number 11, you can see the bridge. Now, this is what drives us or links us between the operating results and the adjusted operating result. You can also see some details with the main adjustments that have been included throughout the financial year. So traditional adjustments, especially the most important components, they have to do with the incentive plans. This is for the staff, of course. Also in terms of RTI, because this is, again, a bridge here between the old business plan and the new business plan, as I said before, together with consulting costs, AR and a reorganization of the business plan. Because, once again, this is what we have to do every 3 years. So they make, if you will, the cost component a little heavier. Once again, every 3 years. As for our investment portfolio, well, it confirms once again the management style, if you will, which is really, really very safe. I'm talking about our assets. We have a perfect match, for example, between assets and liabilities. Portfolio rating, for example, is always aligned to single A. We do not have equity exposure. Just in some cases, we have some tactical positioning, and of course, this gives us the possibility to stay out of the volatility dynamics of today's markets. The new development is represented by something new in our portfolio. Some alternative components gradually, they will increase in the next years. So, once again, these components, on the one side, will help us increase profitability. On the other side, they will strengthen the evolution of our assets, and they will act as a shield or protection system versus the dynamics of the market. This is confirmed that thanks to these sensitivities we carry out in terms of solvency. So we have plenty of sensitivities. Once again, our solvency ratio will respond with an extremely low variability, which is around 2%. So this is the result at the end of the financial year. We have 223%. Once again, this is well above the target range that we wanted to have, which is between 180 and 200. Let me wrap up by sharing with you the current dividend distribution or proposals of the payout, which is 0.27 euros per share. So maybe you remember when we were presenting the industrial plan, the guideline in terms of dividend growth was basically are equal to the progression we imagine in terms of bottom line. So again, the dividend will grow by more than 20% a year on year. So this is fully aligned on the so-called vector, which is the key drivers for the next year. So this is it with the description of our key numbers and results. And the floor is now for you for your questions.
Thank you so much. This is the Chorus Call operator once again. We will now start the Q&A session. This is reserved to financial analysts. If you want to ask a question, please dial hashtag one on your phone. If you want to get an out of the booking list, please dial hashtag followed by two. Please ask your questions by using the receiver of your phone. If you want to ask a question, please dial asterisk followed by one now. Couple of seconds just to allow the booking or reservation of questions. The first question is from Gabriele Venturi, Banca Akros. Please go ahead.
Good evening, everyone. My question concerns the impact on the business of the legislation concerning NatCat policies. So what about the impact at the end of 2025, and how is it impacting now, and what do you think about this impact in 2026? Do you see a possible upside based on this?
Thank you for your question. Now, the digitization and impact, well, in terms of NatCat coverages, we have the traditional form. So we have the coverage concerning, traditional forms, but also the parametric forms. The parametric world is on blockchain. This is absolutely natively digital. NatCat specialty, well, of course, we work on machines. So actually, we do not expect a major effect in digitalization because we already are digital on this kind of products. I think the real point of this kind of products is to make sure the companies understand that they are not forced to do this. I mean, there's a new degree concerning the third sector and farming, but actually there's a risk. So there's a need for hedging or coverage. We can get parametric and traditional coverages. The parametric ones have to do with emergency costs. So once again, all of this has already been digitalized end to end. So basically, we don't have any further advantage out of digitalization.
Thank you. The question concerns, the legislation just introduced. But anyway, the answer was very clear. Thank you.
The next question is from Alberto Villa from Intermonte SIM. Please go ahead.
Hello, Alberto and Jacopo. Yes, I do have some questions. The first one being the following. Can you share a guidance for 2026 on premiums in terms of ratios? So how do you think the operating profits may develop? I guess you want to reach the 2028 targets, but can we just have some color? The guidance for 2026, this may be useful. As for the ratio that has increased this year, do you think it will position to those levels also in the future, or do you think this ratio may go down in the future? Also in terms of provisions, so strengthening the provisions, which is what you carried out last year. Now, do you see some possibilities that something would be necessary also for the next year? So, now, as for the distribution agreements, Alberto, you shared the comment, but I haven't understood fully. So you say that potentially there are new developments going on. So apart from the banking channel, do you think the banking channel is still an opportunity in this case, or do you think the new channels are significant, meaningful opportunities for the future of the company? The last question is on Spain. So after the managerial re-engineering, can you again give us some color concerning possible growth that you foresee in Spain? So do you confirm what you expected in the plan? Thank you.
Alberto, thank you so much for the question. So let me start with question number four, then I'll give the floor to Jacopo. Now, in terms of distribution network, as you know very well, banks were not included in our business plan because basically, I mean, we thought of a very strong organic growth. So this is due to agents. Now, by the way, this is really, really going very well. And we also want to empower commercial actions with tokens with specific facilities. For the time being, we have a distribution agreement going on with Banco Desio. As I said before, we're working on three other banks. So we have including professional indemnity. One such bank is very important, and literally in terms of distribution network. I cannot tell you which kind of agreements were designed because we're still working on this. But I think that, well, by the end of 2026, we will have three, maybe four banking agreements. Some products will have been launched within the end of 2026 with their distribution network. We can also see strong interest from non-banking financial operators, as I said before, because in our OverX platform, which connects very well in terms of API to their platform as well, we give them the possibility to work with us in terms of insurance. Well, I can tell you that in a few weeks or so, there will be an announcement in terms of distribution or innovative distribution, I should say. Well, the omnichannel system, maybe you remember, omnichannel was one of the key foundations of our project. We're working on this. We're strengthening, you know, the agent channel with recruitment. And, well, I have to say that basically we have started working with all of them. And then, once again, the banking system, but also the non-banking systems. So we have a big range of effective systems because we don't have to build anything from scratch. So we can, you know, be banked to something already existing. This makes me happy. It's a very important, I mean, element in order to sell our products. Please go ahead. Hello, Alberto. And again, thank you for your questions. Now, as for the results expected throughout 2026, now, in terms of premiums, I have to say that the range should be around 450 million euros for this financial year, with an operating result that should be in the range of 55 million euros. So this is the progression we imagine for 2026. Now, in terms of the evolution of RAS, we can say that we should be around 14%. This is the average range that we expect today. Now, of course, something may happen during the financial year, so this may have an impact on the ratio. But I have to say that this is the kind of value that we think we will be reaching also in the next years or so. As you know very well, year after year, our reinsurance organization is optimized. So there may be some changes that, of course, do have an impact on the cost, so the incidence of the reinsurance. This is a slow, step-by-step pathway that we are implementing more and more every single year. So I have to say that, well, basically, there may be some minor gaps, but more or less, this is the value we should get to. As for the strengthening of our provisions, once again, this trend that will be monitored, say, year after year. Well, let's say that we just want, say, to be on the cautious side, very cautious, very prudent in order to, you know, take advantage of some dynamics we saw on some business lines. Maybe not all of them, but on some business lines, we have the co-insurers. So let's say that quite often you can see a reassessment to be done. So this is why very prudently we decided to implement this logic. Now, maybe we won't have the same intensity in the next financial years, but the results that we have just analyzed in the board of directors meetings some hours ago, well, the direction is the good one, and we are also improving the methodologies. So without considering the strengthening of provisions that we have in our numbers, so we know what the dynamics are. So maybe in the future, you know, this kind of need won't be felt. As for your question in Spain, well, quite recently, we discussed with the new branch manager. We talked with him about our plan, which is absolutely confirmed. So for 2028, the target is unchanged. This around the 50 million euros, which is more or less 10% of our total turnover. This is what we would like to get in Spain in 2028. As for this financial year, the range should be around 17 and 20 million euros.
Well, we'll see what happens with the discussions with the brokers. But, you know, after talking with the rest of the team, and apart from it from the Congress that we have had, I have to say that 2025 was a year of major investment. Well, also in terms of the relationships that we have created with brokers. Because, well, it goes without saying that brokers also had to become familiar with our appetite and underwriting logics. So 2025 was a sort of a springboard and test bench. So our underwriters are now much more confident because now they're ready, I mean, to generate a larger amount of premiums in 2026, which is what is happening because we check in the numbers in the very first weeks of the year. So once again, this is happening. Thank you so much. Thank you. The next question is from Andrea Lisi from Equity. Please go ahead.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you so much for this possibility. My first question is strengthening provisions. I mean, can I have the details? I'm going to have some follow on the actual impact that this has had in terms of LR or loss ratio. I also have a question on one-off items. For example, there's that 4.4 million one-off costs in terms of operations. Can you tell us exactly what this contains? I also have another question. In terms of pricing, when it comes to various business lines, what are you seeing and what are, in your opinion, right now the best business lines in terms of best growth in 2026? My last question is on the investment portfolio. So I can see that the size of investment portfolio was from 220 million. It's now 290 million full year, so it's going down. So once again, can I have some extra color on this phenomenon? So what you expect in the future? Thank you.
Hello, Andrea. Thank you so much for your questions. Now, as for strengthening or empowering provisions, so around 7 million euros, which is the 2% in terms of loss ratio. So the so-called extra weight. Now, if I skip some steps, well, I apologize. We will go back to the possible points I have missed. Anyway, as for the costs, well, they have to do with basically the cost of staff, the so-called incentive plan, the so-called bridge that we have set up in 2025. We also have temporary replacement of the RTI, but this is basically the RTI that we imagine. So this can also be reactivated. By the way, the general meeting will have to approve this for the 3 years going from 26 to 28, and this is 2 million euros. While the costs for the drafting of the business plan, the investor day, the consulting and advisory services for some insights concerning both the markets and the business together with the investor relations activities, well, this is 1 million euros. All the rest, well, this is a small advisory one-off services that we needed, or just a couple of costs that we had to have in terms of Italy and Spain during the financial year. And, well, as such, this is, I confirm, one-offs that won't happen again in the future. As for the pricing, the evolution we see on the market today is the following. I have to say that, I mean, what is happening today is sort of flat. I mean, there's a stability in terms of property after a very robust growth. So once again, you know, the hype on the market is now going down. So we can see basically the very slight reduction in the last weeks, in the last month or so. So a slight reduction in the price of four. And this is, you know, started from a pricing peak, which is what we saw a while ago. So we have to say that the prices we are offering to the market today are still extremely interesting. Well, we are not yet seeing, by the way, a recovery in terms of pricing on the financial lines because the market there is still soft.
And by the way, this is also the foundation of, if you will, the non-growth versus other business lines. So I'm not talking about those lines that have to do with this kind of industry. Because, of course, we want to be very selective when it comes to taking up risks. So instead of taking up risks that, in our opinion, are difficult to manage, well, we would rather have a reduction of our top line number. The very last point, if I'm not mistaken, concerns the investment dynamics. Well, I have to say that in the second half of the year, in particular in Q4, there have been plenty of, let's say, exits concerning reassurance topics. I have to state that in the final part of the year, this is something that usually happens, well, we see a reduction because we have a concentration of resources going out. But at the same time, we have cash income, which is postponed because there's been a strong collection, which is what we usually do in the month of December. So this is postponed to January or February. So after the premium increases, this is something we see once again in the month of December. So necessarily, we have a time delay or a postponement in terms of the payments from brokers, because then they increase the masses available in the first quarter. Andrea, I hope I have answered all the questions. This is very kind and very complete and exhaustive. Thank you. Thank you so much, everybody. Okay, your next question is from Gianmarco Bonacina, Banca Akros. Mr. Bonacina, your line is open. You can ask your question. Good evening. This is my, these are my questions. I have two questions. Can you tell us what the bridge is between the adjusted operating income, 48 million euros, and the adjusted income, which is 28.6 million euros? I need to, understand what will happen in 2026 in terms of the operating expenditures, but also in terms of taxation. The same goes on the other bridge. I mean, we have some extra color on solvency. Which were the items that have had a negative impact in 2025? The very last question, by the way, is on the 55 million operating profits. Is this reported or is this an adjusted number? Hello. 55 is adjusted. So in terms of operating results, as for the bridge, you will find it in our press release. So we start from the insurance result, and once again, you will also see here the reclassifications. So this is fundamental to recalculate the operating result, which is then adjusted because we have had some one-off costs that we've described before. So one-off costs, LTI-related costs, minor costs, for example, MOBA. Now, all of these adjustments are the adjustments, by the way, that take part, if you will, to the definition of the adjusted net profits. We started from the reported net profits. We carry out adjustments, which is what I just said. They are scaled up, if you will, on top of the net profits so that we can have the adjusted net profits. Once again, there are no differences in terms of adjustments between the two metrics because, of course, they work on the financial statements are in different ways, two different ways. The last point, if I'm not mistaken, concerns the solvency ratio as to our. So we have explained the dynamics that have guided the evolution of the trend. Well, we have to say the first and foremost, considering of the next years in the plan, we will incorporate growing volumes. So, of course, this has an impact in terms of the quantification of the ratio itself. Now, we have slightly changed the reinsurance structure at the very end of the year. And this is what we have done because we needed the optimization that we've been, talking about for some quarters. So our solvency ratio allows us to do so because we do have some capitals available. Those capitals have to become, let's say, active working capitals. So we have further reduced our exposure to reinsurance coverages on some business lines versus what we did in the past by slightly changing the structure or, if you will, by increasing the retention, risk retention points or levels on our books.
Now, from a different perspective, I have to say that the evolution of our loss ratio, together with the strengthening operation that we have carried out, as we said before, in terms of reserving, well, all of this has slightly impacted on the value of the calculation of our best estimates. And this is why we saw a slight decrease of our own funds. So we have many different dynamics. And now the main ones are those that I have just described. And they sort of are responsible to the stabilization of our solvency ratio. This is why we have 223, which is the number I've shared before. Thank you. The next question is from Emanuele Musio, Intesa San Paolo. Please go ahead.
Good evening, and thank you so much for having me, and thank you for the presentation. I have one quick question, which is a sort of insight or clarification at one point on CR, combined ratio. This may be useful for me in order to make some estimates. There's a 2% impact due to the strengthening of provisions. So my question is, how may I normalize the starting point for years to come? So, I mean, how can I normalize 2025? Then I would do the extrapolation for the years to come.
Hello, Emanuele. Thank you so much for your question. Well, it's not a question of normalizing the starting point. I would consider the trend that we imagine. So, well, yes, it's a recurring stabilization around 85%. We gave a guideline, which is the 26, the 27, 28 guideline. Please do not forget the numbers we are commenting right now concerning the pre-launch of the industrial plan financial year. So, of course, we would like to move steadily under or below 85 within 2028. So, basically, what we imagine is a gradual reduction versus the starting point, which is, once again, it was actually 86.3. Now, in my opinion, we don't have to be scared of this because, I mean, we're talking about, this is less than 1% above the value that we imagined for the end of the financial year. Okay, that's clear. Thank you. Thank you. Let me remind you that if you want to ask a question, you can now dial star followed by one on your phone. Further questions, once again, please dial star followed by one. Well, apparently we don't have other questions to be booked so far, thank you. So maybe we're being very clear or we're being completely unclear. So anyway, thank you so much for following us. Thank you for your questions. We will be available for any further insights or questions. And once again, if you need further clarification, once again, thank you. Thank you so much. Bye. Thank you. Bye-bye. This is the conference call operator. The conference call is over. You can now disconnect your phones. Thank you. Bye-bye.